Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you here in the middle of the week. We've been talking about relationship with God. Derek Prince has been teaching powerful truths out of the life of Abraham and the meaning of Jesus' sacrifice, all about friendship with God. And you know, it's been really wonderful because it's transforming the understanding of friendship in our generation. Friendship, as God defines it, is built on covenant, on an investment in each other. Man, don't we need that in our lives? You know, it's interesting. People talk about having friends, and yet they're lonely. It's because their friendships aren't covenantal relationships. Well, God offers us something covenantal. It cost him his son. It's going to cost us something too, but boy, is it going to be worth it. Now listen, if you've missed any of these thus far, log on to the website at derekprince.org. You'll also find information there about a podcast of the broadcast. And now let's get right to it and let Derek Prince teach us about relationship with God.
There are various passages in the Bible where marriage is used to picture the kind of relationship that God desires with his believing people. Let's look at some examples. First, I'll briefly mention some examples from God's dealings with Israel in the Old Testament. In the language used in Scripture, when God redeemed Israel out of Egypt and made a covenant with them, he became their husband. The covenant relationship he established was one in which he took the place of a husband to his people. As a result, the subsequent disobedience and particularly idolatry of Israel was referred to by their prophets as adultery. It was tantamount to the breaking of a marriage relationship. It was like a wife being unfaithful to her husband. Further on in prophecy, the Bible speaks of the restoration of Israel to God's favor again, and it indicates that this restoration will climax in the making of a new covenant between God and Israel and the restoration of the marriage relationship. For example, in Hosea chapter 2, verse 20, speaking about the restoration of Israel, God says to them, "I will betroth you to me in faithfulness." Of course, the word betroth is a word used in connection with the marriage relationship. Thus, God's covenant relationship to his people is analogous to a marriage covenant. This is something that I think it's hard for some people to appreciate, that God wants a relationship with his people that is so very intimate and personal. I think there's something in people with a church background and a religious upbringing that almost makes them shun away from the intimate and the personal. I know in my own background in Britain, essentially when I grew up as a boy, I grew up in a good home, a moral home. I had good parents and grandparents, but nobody ever talked about the really intimate things. You didn't talk about your relationship with God, and a husband and wife really did not indicate any kind of real warmth or love in public. It was all something to be kept away in a corner somewhere that was not brought out into public. Consequently, when I came to know the Lord in a personal way, it was not easy for me at first to realize just how intimate God wanted his relationship to be with me. However, the New Testament uses just the same kind of language. In fact, it goes further than the Old Testament in this respect. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27, Paul says this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless." The analogy there is very clear. Just as a husband loves his wife, So Christ loves the church. The kind of relationship that a husband desires from his wife, the same kind of relationship Jesus desires from the church. And in fact, the whole culmination of the relationship between Christ and his church is the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Revelation 19:7, it says, "The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." You see, God, even in human marriage, lays down the requirement of a covenant, a total commitment. God does not recognize as marriage that which is not preceded by total commitment. God does not recognize trial marriages or experimental relations. And what I want to say to you very plainly right now is this: God doesn't have trial relationships with believers. God does not commit himself to the uncommitted. If you want that kind of intimate, personal relationship with God, then you have to enter into a covenant with God that's based on total commitment to him. Unfortunately, many of our churches are full of people today that have never done that. There are a great many things that people do which they somehow hope will achieve that kind of relationship, but they don't do it. It wouldn't be possible to name all the different religious substitutes that people have produced for this kind of commitment to God. I'll just mention just a few. People talk about making a decision, signing a card, shaking a minister by the hand, joining a church, having your name on the roll of the church, being baptized or confirmed. And there are many, many other things that people talk about in this context.
You know, one of the great truths of the New Testament is that the word that God uses for knowing him is exactly the same word as marital sexual intimacy. In other words, God is calling us to an intimate relationship with him. This is a truth that needs restoring in our time. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm hoping that you've been with us for all of the sessions so far. We've been talking about relationship with God. Here in the middle of the week, Derek's been talking to us about union with God and how it really parallels the marital relationship between a man and a woman, powerful and transforming. Let's listen.
Now, I want to make it clear there's nothing wrong with any of those things in the right context. But none of them is a guarantee for that relationship with God that we're speaking about. There is no substitute for total commitment to God. God doesn't offer you an experimental union. God isn't on trial. God will commit himself only to the one who is committed to him. The basis of the relationship is covenant. The basis of covenant is a sacrifice. It's the laying down of a life. It's the letting go of my own will, my own possessions, my own ambitions, everything I hold dear, and hating anything that comes between God and me. For the Lord says he is a jealous God. That word jealous, again, is primarily in the context of marriage relationship. When God says he's a jealous God, what he's saying is, if you want to be married to me, there is nothing else in your life that can take precedence over me. I demand all, and I will accept no less. The essential qualification for being part of the collective bride is to have first established this individual relationship with the Lord. The same covenant that brings us into relationship with God also brings us into relationship with God's people. Thus, relationship with God's people also is based on covenant. This is a thing that we all need to understand. So many Christians have been blind to this fact. The moment you enter into covenant relationship with God, necessarily you must be in covenant relationship with God's people. You cannot relate to God on the basis of a covenant and refuse to relate to those who are related to God by the same covenant. Covenant relationships are always on two planes, vertical toward God, horizontal toward God's people. I pointed out in previous talks that there's a law in the whole physical world that if the one beam of the cross is out of line, then you know automatically that the other beam is out of line. Now, this is true in this matter of covenant relationships. If our relationship with our fellow believers is out of line, then the vertical beam, our relationship with God, also must be out of line. When one is out of line, the other is out of line. And if you talk about being right with God, but you do not have right relationships with your fellow believers, whether you know it or not, you're deceiving yourself. That's an impossible situation. Now, I want to go back and look at the example in the book of Exodus where God entered into covenant with Israel. The words of God's covenant approach to Israel are found in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. This is what God told Moses to put before Israel. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The new relationship which God here offered to Israel was based upon their keeping his covenant. It was the covenant that brought them into this distinctive relationship with God, which set them apart from all other nations. It's important to understand that there was nothing specially holy about Israel before God made his covenant with them. What made them holy was his covenant. And that's the only thing that can make a man or a people holy, is covenant relationship with God. Thereafter, in the language of the Old Testament, a careful distinction is maintained. Israel is called a people. All other ethnic groups are called nations. Often the word Gentiles is used. But the word people is reserved for Israel, because to be a people, an ethnic group has to have a covenant relationship with God. That's what distinguishes a people from a mere nation. Now, as soon as God had entered into this covenant relationship with Israel, he immediately went on to describe to them in the following chapters how they would have to relate to one another as members of one covenant people. In other words, the relationship was not merely vertical with God, but it was also horizontal with their fellow Israelites, those who were in the same covenant with God as they were. Now, in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter, speaking to believers in Jesus Christ, and he actually quotes the words that God used to Israel in Exodus 19, and he applies the same principle. This is what he says. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You'll notice that Peter is quoting the very words spoken by God to Israel in Exodus 19. Then Peter goes on to say, "For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Notice, before they came into covenant with God through Jesus Christ, they were not a people. But having come into covenant with God, they became a people. This is true of Israel under the Old Testament. It's true of the Church of Jesus Christ under the New. What makes the Church a people is our covenant relationship with God. And the same covenant that relates us to God relates us to one another. And just like Israel under the Old Covenant, so under the New Covenant, we have specific obligations to one another as members of one covenant people.
Boy, don't forget that truth that Derek taught us, that the same covenant that brings us into relationship with God also brings us into relationship with God's people. You know, many people want to know God, live on a mountain, stay away from his people. And believe me, it'd be much easier to hang out with God if we didn't have to hang out with his people. It's the fallen human beings that are sometimes difficult about Christianity. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus put love in our heart for his people because, first of all, we have love in our heart for God. There's more of this wise teaching coming as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're joining us here in the middle of the week. We're in a series with Derek Prince on relationship with God. It is really challenging us. He's not letting us get away with anything. He's not letting us think that we can have a relationship with God without having a relationship with his people. Let's listen as Derek teaches us on relationship with God.
The Old Covenant was initiated at Sinai. The new covenant was initiated at the Last Supper. We read these words in Matthew 26, verse 28. Jesus said to his disciples, as he offered them the cup at the end of the Last Supper, "This is my blood of the covenant." And then he said, "Drink of it, all of you." It was very important that each disciple shared the cup with Jesus, but also in doing that, they shared the cup with one another. In other words, the same symbolic covenant act that brought them into relationship with Jesus brought them into relationship, covenant relationship, with one another. This is the lesson that we have to see and take to heart, that if we claim a covenant relationship with Jesus through the blood of the new covenant that he shed on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins, we cannot evade the responsibilities of a covenant relationship with all other believers. The covenant that brings us into relationship with Jesus brings us into relationship with one another. And the outworking of our covenant includes our responsibilities towards our fellow believers just as much as our responsibilities toward Jesus himself. We've seen in my talks on relationship with God that covenant brings us into union with God. What I'm saying now is that covenant likewise brings us into union with God's people. the end purpose of covenant is union. There are two sides to this. First of all, we cannot have true union without covenant. I think events in the world today are a commentary on this. Men are talking about unity and union in so many areas, but the truth of the matter is that there is no real union without covenant. It's a very interesting commentary on the history of the United States that the Hebrew name for the United States is Aratzod HaBerit, which means the lands of the covenant. This name singles out the fact that the United States nationally is founded on a covenant. And if you go back to the history when that covenant was formed, it's interesting that the first reason given for making that covenant was to achieve a more perfect union amongst the states. So we see that even in American history, this fact emerges that if you want union, it must be by way of covenant. There is no other basis for lasting union. But the other side of the coin is this, that if you are in covenant, you must be in union. You are deceiving yourself if you talk about covenant relationship, but deny its implications of union with your fellow believers. Let me sum it up this way. Always, the product of covenant is union. And in the talks that I've been giving, we've seen it in three relationships: between God and the believer, between the husband and wife, and among God's people. Everywhere there is covenant. If it works, the result is union.
You know, probably in your church, every week, every month, at least once a year, you partake of the Lord's Supper. And when you do, you drink symbolically the blood of Christ, and you eat symbolically the body of Christ, and yet you also share that covenant meal, as it is, with others in the room. In other words, you are partaking of the work of Jesus on the cross, the victory of Jesus on the cross, but at the same time, you are sharing a meal of fellowship with other people. This is exactly the way that Christianity is. And it's amazing to me how many people want to walk with Jesus but not have to walk with his people. I want to tell you something that I learned in 21 years of pastoring, and that is that those who can't walk in loving, gentle, holistic relationships with other people probably aren't walking in loving, fulfilling, holistic relationships with God. That really, you can tell that, but you can really tell the health of the vertical, as we say, meaning that center beam of the cross that goes from God to us. You can really tell whether that's healthy by whether the horizontal is healthy. In other words, the relationship with other people. God literally identifies himself with people and says, unless you've done it with the least of these, in other words, if you can't love men whom you've seen, how can you love God whom you haven't? And so the kind of Christianity that says, I want to focus on God, but I want to be away from his people, that's not working. And that attitude's fueling a lot of the rejection of church and the rejection of Christians gathering together today that really is damaging the experience of God's presence and God's truth. Now listen, this is such important stuff. I want you to make sure to listen to it over and again. Log on the website at derekprince.org. You'll find out all kinds of information about podcasts, and you'll also be able to, as I say, listen to this over and again to get these truths embedded in your soul. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
We are so very glad that you could be with us today for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order a copy of Derek's newest book, Rules of Engagement, for $12.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261, 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.